Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we have a great one. And when we have these conversations, and I get to be here in Denver with another fellow Denverite here in Studio AOC, we got it. So we have Christopher Wilacki, who has spent 22 years in the electrical industry, and he is the Director of Construction Technology at Sturgeon Electric Company. So we're going to go in and have a fireside chat with Christopher. And what are the things we're going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about how much the subcontractor are the key to the general contractor's success. We're going to go through, and I'm going to challenge him to say, what are some of the major changes needed to happen in the construction industry and what it takes to thrive in the construction tech industry? So that's kind of the emphasis of today. Let's go talk about how we can thrive, talk about building informational modeling and all these amazing tools that are out there. Not just talk about video games. Sturgeon Electric is actually doing it. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Coffee snob.
There you go. Is there like a certain fancy coffee? Or it's funny when I ask the coffee, it's like either like, I don't know, Folgers or like they're all in on the...
Anything roasted in Denver. And then it's just a ritual for me. Whether it's a ritual at home, camping, anywhere. It's just, I love the ritual.
There you go. So wherever you're at, you find a way to make it happen. Awesome. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
That's going to have to be Patagonia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my wife and I were there for over 2 weeks for our honeymoon.
Super cool. Patagonia. Give us one a story from that. Honeymoon in Patagonia.
I'm self-diagnosed. I love to suffer. And so we thought Patagonia would be fun. And I've always wanted to experience the weather down there. And so it was funny. The first day we got there, it was hot and no wind and no nothing and no rain. And I was like, what did we come down here for? And the last day of the trip, we experienced the winds of Patagonia. And it's pretty interesting to get blown over while you're walking. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So you really experienced the whole thing.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. So what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're breaking down here that we passionately call the art?
I race bikes here in Denver, so I've been training for stuff since I was 14, and this is probably the second year in my life I've never had a race to do. So
what is, there's a lot of bikes, road biking, mountain biking?
Road and mountain bikes, yeah.
Okay, so biking is your thing. There's a lot of them in Colorado doing that, right? So give us your story, what led you up to being the Director of Construction Technology, and then we want to learn all about Sturgeon Electric.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to start my apprenticeship right out of high school in the city of Chicago. I served a five-year apprenticeship for Local 134. And on top of that, I worked for a great company for 16 years in the field. So I started as an apprentice, went to journeyman, foreman, general foreman, superintendent. I had incredible people that taught me the ins and outs of the electrical industry. And not only that, but how to plan and draw before projects and really kind of go through that whole process. I left Chicago after 16 years, moved to Durango, was there for a year, and then I moved back up to Denver. And I was a general foreman for a contractor here, built a beautiful building right off of Spear. And then I went back to school for Revit. So my last project in Chicago was, we had 5 months of pre-construction. And during that time, we had 5 months of 2D CAD coordination. So just overlaying 2D drawings in CAD. And in our meetings, we would have, you know, CAD guys that knew plumbing and they knew ductwork and they knew sprinkler fitting. And I was the only person in the room that knew CAD and also electrical. And I kind of looked around the table and I was like, there's an opening here that's not being filled. So I realized that understanding that technology might lend a hand to something in the future, and I kind of jumped on it. Went back to school for Revit.
So what? How long ago was that?
You went back to school. 10 years ago.
Okay, so we're global and timeless. We're in 2019, so 2010, which was kind of right in between, you know, all the different coming out of the downfall, the economy. We're at the top now, and right now it's like, who knows where it is. But right. I think the timeline is really interesting to me on construction technology of the ups and downs. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and it was kind of a weird time, and learned Revit, and then the company I was with realized that I knew how to plan stuff up on paper itself, and they had a small BIM group, and I jumped on that immediately and grew from a detailer to a manager, then managed a fabrication department, and then almost 5 years ago got with Sturgeon, and then kind of worked my way up to the position I'm in right now, and it's been great.
So explain what the director of construction technology, what does that mean for a lot of GCs that I think that should probably learn these titles more this is still video game stuff?
You know, job titles are a fickle thing. You know, everybody has them. They don't always describe what you do. Essentially, I work with everything from our pre-construction team all the way to our field team. In the realm of construction technology specifically, we always like to try to make sure we understand and know what's out there. So general contractors will come to us and say, we're using this platform, whether it's Procore or PlanGrid or Bluebeam, and then we're using Glue and Plan and BIM 360, and there's all these things going on, and primarily we want to make sure we understand that. So one of our directives for our team, our integrated services team, is to make sure we know what's out there. And that gives us the latitude to find stuff, do testing on it, get, you know, quick free trials of stuff to make sure that when we do get hired for a project and a GC says, hey, we're going to be using this, we're not caught flat-footed and you know, we don't know what it is, so we're able to train our field and our project managers and have that sort of knowledge.
So that's a key thing that you as a subcontractor are learning, kind of the gamut of the different platforms that a GC may be on, so that you can plug and play into their business versus them trying to have to change to the one platform you're using.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we want to be that person for a GC, is that we're gonna know it. We're gonna be ready when they come to us. And unfortunately, we have a lot of clients, whether they're GCs, and they all use different platforms. So we have to know those. Yeah. That's just one aspect of what we bring in, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that, you know, I own a window and door company in Colorado, and that window and door company, we have to know, there's, when I say platform, there's, you know, all of the co-construct and builder trend for your smaller, but, and then the pro cores, but then you have all like the Texturas and all these different payment platforms that you have to have kind of people within your umbrella to know how to make those things work, or you can't really play the game.
Right.
And that stuff is continuing to evolving, and you have to work smarter, not harder. Yeah. So Sturgeon is a massive company. You're here in Denver, 112-year-old company, you said 5 years ago. What led you to Sturgeon as a company, and give me the Sturgeon story.
So what led me to Sturgeon, you know, I was a union electrician in Chicago. That's just kind of the way that I went. And Sturgeon's a great player in the city. They do amazing, beautiful projects all over the country. So the history of Sturgeon, we have offices in Colorado, Seattle, Chino, California, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Tucson, where our parent company is MYR Group, which is the fourth largest electrical contractor in the United States. On top of that, they own transmission and distribution offices across the country, and then there's commercial and industrial offices everywhere from Maine, New Jersey, Syracuse, Chicago, Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver, and then we just acquired another office in California.
Wow.
And so on top of that, you know, the great thing is that our executive leadership has done an incredible job at making sure everybody is connected. So you'd think that a huge company like that, everybody's siloed off across the world or across the country. And it's kind of the opposite with us. You know, I have access to our teams in Chicago and Phoenix. You know, we have Microsoft Office 365, so it's literally just a Teams chat. I could ask them anything they need. Our Phoenix group is better at scanning. They understand the scanning platforms than we do. You know, our Seattle group is doing transit sound work. So the network that we have of each other is incredible.
So that's a valuable. So the platform you're on is Office 365, and those tools are great. What are some other, you had talked on earlier about forward thinking, kind of doing the large projects, lean cultures. What else about about Sturgeon that you would want to talk about?
You know, being a large company and spread out across the country and older, everybody kind of would think, you know, slow moving, not out front, kind of resting back on what they've made them successful. But I think we are the opposite. You know, we've just about a year and a half ago, we instated a whole lean program. So we have lean teams in Phoenix and Denver. And we're implementing lean processes and lean thinking and just changing the culture of always trying to get better. So never saying, hey, this process is it. It works. We're trying to push it forward. A lot of that ways we're doing Gemba walks. We have a huge 5S.
What's Gemba walks?
So Gemba walk is essentially, it's used in manufacturing where I would go out to a project and I would observe. So I would just watch the moves of those people, where their material's at, how long it takes them to go from their workstation or work area to go get a piece of material, and you know, do they have the information they need? How much movement is happening? And on top of that is, where are the wastes in that movement? It's just a simple observation thing.
Gotcha.
That the Japanese have done beautifully.
Yeah. Kaizen.
Yeah. We have a huge last planner push, which I, you know, in the beginning, I have my CM Lean. A lot of us have our CM Lean, which is an AGC certificate. But in the beginning, you know, you learn these pull planning techniques, and everybody initially says, ah, it's just a bunch of sticky notes on the floor. But if you really do the whole thing, if you really do what those rules are and try to make them work, it's an incredible tool. And we've really harnessed that tool internally for our teams. I just left a pull plan for a really large project that we're starting at a small airport here in Denver. To have everybody in a room that isn't involved in an activity, going over the sequence of that activity is a lot more challenging than you think. And unfortunately, in the construction industry, we've just done it and it's happened. And now we're being challenged by a lot of these projects where the schedules are extremely tight. You know, there's nowhere to put your material. There's less labor. So you have to do things differently. You can't just say, oh, you're a PM, go do your PM thing. And you're a GF, go do your GF thing. It's just impossible to make things work if you keep doing things
that
way.
Yeah, that's interesting. We, Art of Construction, we actually interviewed another electrician company called Interstate Electric a while back in this show. And it turned into basically the whole show. The title, I think, even had lean in it.
Yep.
And to move forward in an electrical world of the crusty electrician that would just show onto the job site, go to the place, get his parts, come back in, and by that time, at the end of the day, you're only actually working for an hour or two. Like, that didn't work in today's world anymore. Yeah. So that's where you have to look at the lean. So I was thinking, with your history of boots on the ground to now construction design, managing all these different BIM and models, I think a lot of people are wondering is, like, how do you do that handoff or kind of lessons learned? So I was thinking we kind of go through, as Sturgeon as a company, you guys are working with teams of estimators and project managers, field foremen, project control specialists, BIM designers. That building informational modeling has been a whole journey Art of Construction has went on, because the building information is the key, and the modeling is how that stuff actually gets done, of actually getting back to the master designer architect, of actually building what you say you're going to build. But you have to have designers to plan and schedule and fabricate all this stuff and get back to all the ROI and make it all work. So could you walk me through kind of the handoffs and discuss some lessons learned that you're working on with those different things, of how you're passing the estimators to the project managers to the field foreman and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess in the inception of a project, when we're chasing any sort of project, one of the things that we could talk about this later that the industry is lacking is, you know, to get those models that are already created by the architects and engineers and structural engineers, to get those models early for an estimating team, I think the industry is going to start moving in that direction, instead of saying, well, here's your 2D prints and do the way we've typically done everything. Now, if we get a model from electrical engineer that's already populated his fixture types and where electrical panels have to be, we're starting to move towards estimating within Revit. So that means using products like Assemble to quickly quantify fixtures instead of, I mean, think of a huge building and sitting there ticking off
every single
picture. You mean this in versus going through and find every switch and every light and tallying all this stuff up, whatever the trade is. If you're an electrician, it's that. If you're a plumber, it's toilets. If you're a window guy, it's how many windows and doors. And we still mostly in the construction world are here's the plans, do the bid, and each person, and that's where we've had different guests like Evolve Lab, and they talked about the data drop chasm, where every time it hits hands-on, we're reinventing the wheel versus using the tool that just tells you that information, right?
Yeah, and that's where we're moving in our estimating department is trending that model instead of trending that package of drawings.
That's a great way to say it.
The speed at which we could get estimates and quantify things is much easier. But right now, the industry just doesn't use that model as that document to estimate from. So we're trying to be forward and say, hey, could you give us the model also? And there's some reluctance there, as you can
imagine. Oh, yeah.
Because everybody thinks they're going to get hung on that. When you just want to kind of move quicker.
Well, the intellectual property is a big conversation of that's where I'm the disruptor saying the architects, they made that and that's their intellectual property and you should go do it your own thing way. And I'm like, well, then your architect, you're going to just kicked out and get moved to the side because we need the architects to be our designers and help us execute this stuff. But you got to be part of that whole process versus that's your own.
And why I think that is so funny is because those sheets are created from that model. Like, that's the thing that I think we're just so accustomed to being like, I just want a set of blueprints, where we're just not ready to do things out of that model space yet, even though they're the same things.
But I think people are just scared of those tools because getting into Revit and all of the different things around the Autodesk world, or if you step outside of Autodesk world and want to be a rebel, which is a small niche of people because they're kind of the 800-pound gorilla and continue to get bigger, a lot of people just don't know those tools. And it's back to like the podcast with Turner Fleischer of fully investing into that team to understand that. And it sounds like Sturgeon is the same way. Yeah. I guess this is, we didn't talk on the pre-planning about, but this is a big deal of like how and when you're going to share your pertinent information, that when you're given the drawings, those are just an output of the design at that time versus it's an iterative process of getting that model to actually take the model and use it throughout the construction process too, right? So I think that's where that model becomes an iterative if you're actually using it through the process for project managers and have the BIM managers work with them. What would be your take on that part of it from the estimator to the project manager?
So, what we do right now is a lot of our BIM team will help our estimators. And we actually have, a couple estimators that have already learned Revit, went to school, and so they're able to work in that space a little bit. But we'll break that model out for them in Assemble. We'll help them quantify and kind of use that platform to give them that quantifications. And even on some design assist projects, we are using that model, the trend. We're trying to use that verbiage in meetings and stuff, but it's still a little bit difficult to get everybody on board with that. And then after that, once a project goes to award, and even in pre-construction, we'll kind of help with if there are models that we can trend, if they grow or go lower with fixtures or whatever else, we'll kind of trend it that way for our pre-construction team. And then as soon as a project is awarded, we'll quickly, usually because our BIM team is on the front end of what general contractors want us to do. So usually we're engaged first because we have to start modeling, because modeling comes before install. So we'll quickly engage that GC, understand what their coordination schedule is. And then the biggest part is getting our field with us. And the other part is we're so lucky inside of Sturgeon to have a really incredible field staff that is in tune with this technology. So I know a lot of people will say, well, the field's behind in some situations, but I'm lucky enough to work with some incredible electricians who are even more forward than we are sometimes. So a lot of this technology stuff, and this is a whole side conversation, but
important one though. We got to flip the funnel to say the foreman or the person running the crew doesn't want to use this technology, so he's just going to print everything for him. Yeah. If that's how your company runs and you continue to run it that way, you're going to get left in the dust pretty soon. Because there's this huge paradigm shift. As we did a series with Builder Trend, a great platform where we did a series of every time I asked the different interviewers what changed the game, and it was the cell phone, because it actually connected the field to the office. Well, now you're flipping that the other way around, is that the office is actually connecting to the field with these tools, meaning the designer tools can go out to the field.
Right.
And if you're in the field, you better start getting on board with these, because it's an iterative process. Yeah. And if you're just living off of a printed paper, that's a moment in time, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think on top of that is, once your field understands how they need to work and what they can get and behave in that whole BIM world, the sky's the limit. I mean, I don't know if we've all seen Morse curve. It's just the adoption curve. You got your early adopters, and as soon as everybody gets it, it just takes off. If your technology team is trying to push something that your field team isn't ready for, it's just not going to work. So we had kind of a process where we could have shot for the moon, but everybody down to that last kid, you know, I always make a joke as that 18-year-old kid who just broke up with his girlfriend who doesn't want to be at work that day. If he doesn't understand that information and understand how to interact with that technology, it's just not going to work. So you have to make it work for everybody, or there's going to be way too many failure points. So understanding where your field is at and everybody moving forward as a team is the key. You can't have your technology side heavy, front-loaded, and trying to do all this amazing stuff that we know we can do if your user groups aren't ready. So doing that in lockstep, growing as a team, is unbelievably important.
Cool.
So project control specialists and the BIM designers really can't be technology focused and say, here's the handoff and you have to do it this way, because it's just going to break, right?
Yeah.
So you have to really work right to left I like that analogy of the 18-year-old kid that's a little bit frustrated, yeah, to make it work for him, and for the lowest common denominator, best for all.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. And then the other part that we're lucky about is we have a project controls team which does all of our scheduling. So we're able to take what our BIM team schedules, integrate it with the GC's P6 schedule and the field, and we make a really comprehensive schedule that everybody is able to communicate off of. So there's no holes in the
awesome
process. So,
I was when I was researching your awesome story on LinkedIn and the like, I saw that you had stopped in at Katerra, and referencing show 153, where we did an event podcast at Digital Built Week, where Steve Burrows called it to be, this is the greatest time in history to be in construction. And he also had a stint at Katerra. And, you know, his comment, I thought he said it great, was to say, with the influx of cash and the offsite construction model that they were given through the venture capitalists, they definitely changed the way people are thinking about this. And especially of every uptick and every downtick, and right now we're at the top. What was your take with the stop at Katerra in your electrical career? Like Steve talked about, greatest time in construction, where Katerra is definitely a buzzword in our industry right now.
Yeah.
That has definitely changed the thought process or the arena that we live in the art of construction.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with him. It is the greatest time to be in construction, not only because of the economy, just because for the first time in 22 years, the industry is changing. And you could attribute it to companies like Katerra or the other, you know, slew of these modular, Skender out of Chicago is trying to do the same thing. I think the great thing that Katerra is offering is purpose. They're saying we have a housing problem, and we do in a lot of cities, and they're coming up with a way to fix it. I think that's really great. The one thing that I took away from Katerra is, you know, you can't always say, well, I have Autodesk Revit and I have Navisworks, and these are the only tools I could work with. Understanding where Dynamo fits in, and the fact that you could program things into those platforms, you know, with Forge and all this stuff.
Right.
I think once companies get that kind of momentum, it's huge. We just got done programming our own toolbar. So we have a proprietary toolbar just for Sturgeon. We just completed some programming on
toolbar in Revit.
Yeah, toolbar in Revit. So we worked on our own families that we've had for years, and we wanted to lean out our BIM process. So I don't have families all over the office that everybody's using, and it's just a complete mess. So
that's what I'm seeing is that's a big thing right now. The people that are the blazing trails like Sturgeon or Turner Fleischer, the others I've been interviewing, is like taking the time to have leaders like you, but also understanding and making a common tool their own and having other things feed into those to make their tool and their system within a family of products is key to that if you're going to be move forward with construction technology.
And you know, there are plugins. There's tons of plugins you can purchase. And eventually when your team gets so big, it's a thing of cost. Do we want to spend all that money for 12 different modelers and across the board? And we're working on logistics programming within Revit. And so that's kind of what I gleaned from that little stint was look past just your package. Just look past just that Revit thing that you purchased. There's other ways to get what you need to do. It's difficult, but it's really, really powerful.
Awesome. So as this platform is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business and connect technology to handshakes, what is your crystal ball with the future with technology and construction as you've been a forward-thinking blazing trail guy? We want to learn from you on your thoughts with that.
Oh, man, this is a good one. I think that once, this is another question we had, but once owners of projects and buildings and whatever is working in that space, once they kind of could understand what subcontractors could provide to projects, I think that's when things will take off. And unfortunately, I don't want to say this, but schedules will speed up. Things will get a little bit clearer. Everybody will understand what that end goal is. That's kind of where I see things going. As far as in the subcontractor world, I kind of see things going of, field forces becoming much, much more comfortable with all of this technology and then learning how to push it. So I think one of the things that why this position has worked for me and coming from the field and moving my way up through BIM is I know what those guys in the field go through and have to deal with firsthand. And I know that as a foreman and a general foreman and even a PM, you are redlining all day long. You have 100 things to do and you're doing them at 1% at best. And so these technologies and support teams like ours are here to support and take that load off so our field forces are safer, so they're being more productive. We've all seen that productivity rate. The average field worker is 33% productive. So what if we raise that to 40? And that's huge when you're talking big projects. So that's where I think technology is going to help is, no more ordering material daily and unloading trucks daily and doing all that stuff. I think we're going to start quantifying things in the model early, and that takes a lot of upfront planning and smart field people that know their job. And then that stuff is literally going to flow in like Legos. And I don't want to say modular because some subcontractors, we're never going to live in that modular world.
Right.
Conduit and ductwork and piping just is not
modular.
Yeah,
and different segments and different platforms out there that will be the challenges and the moving parts are different, right? And so the comment that you made there is, I challenge people if you're looking at, okay, I want to get a construction technology leader that you talk about the, your BIM schooling and this. But before that is that you're proud to say, I was an electrician. I've been at this for 22 years. I'm proud to say I've been doing windows and doors for 16 years. And so it's guys like you and I that we learn by doing, and we can bring... We came up in the ranks of how it's been done so that if we love construction, guys like you and I, to actually take the BIM modeling and make it work, but we're bringing that 10,000 hours. As I'm a big Peyton Manning fan, and when he came to Denver, we won the Super Bowl because he knew exactly how everything worked, and he could do Omaha Audible and slice and dice because he spent it, but then he also made the time to learn that system. And so that's where I think as you're looking at saying, man, I better get on board with this thing because either you're growing or dying, and I'm challenging. If you're not getting involved, being part of the Art of Construction tribe and listening to these tools, you're going to be left behind because we're the leaders in this thing. And I truly believe that. And it's not from Devin. It's I'm the one learning from when it comes to electricians. I can now have a podcast or a platform from that has built up to this evolution and connecting all those dots. So why I'm telling that story is to go, if you're going and looking at a resume, like you look at a resume like yours where you were in Chicago doing it, you worked at Blazing Trail companies like Katerra and then a history. Those are the types of things that, man, talk about street cred that's going to move the needle forward to be a leader. So I commend you and I for that and thinking through that. So what are some major changes that you think need to happen in the industry?
You know, like I was saying, I think ownership is going to be a big thing. I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens between GCs and owners in the beginning, and some things are sold to owners, whether it's, hey, we're going to give you a coordinated building or we're going to give you a model at the end. I think once owners start pushing GCs to say, I want a full FM plan, I want a full facilities management plan after this, you know, what I know some of our partners are doing is there are ownerships across the country that, let's say, they own buildings all over the country. And what they're saying is, model all these buildings, tell me what's going to be in these buildings. Because as a company, if I own a huge corporation, I want to know where my assets are. I want to know what's in my buildings. I want to know how to price future buildings. You know, I don't want to...
How to maintain existing,
you know, buildings. So it's going to be a big tool for owners in the future once they have somebody that understands what it can get for them. I think that's
coming. And the power of this stuff, that creating a culture of excellence and a team as progression, that's where Turner Fleischer, I loved how they're saying that, and they're building that out to use Grasshopper and Dynamo and all these scripting platforms into that to build out a library of what do you do if the fire extinguisher doesn't this, or a chair breaks, or all the stuff in the facility management. Like, there's so much more to this computational design than just printing you a piece of paper that's a moment in time. Yeah. It's this evolving life that the we call it the virtual experience, mm-hmm. can go through with the art of construction.
Yeah. And, you know, on the top of that, the end of that FM plan is, and we've had this happen a couple times, is unfortunately that facilities management plan falls on that last person again, is who's that facilities manager. And if he's walking around with a bunch of binders, to get that person to, you know, to get that one person in the hospital or that group to say, guess what, you're going to be using an iPad, and in that iPad is all of your information, you're going to have to learn it or you're not going to be able to run this hospital. That's a daunting thing for some companies. So I think there is a lot of things that have to get learned, yeah. and overcome on that user part.
Awesome. So lessons learned. I'm a big quotes guy, and you've talked about quotes in the past. So I'm going to put a quote out there, and then I want you to give me a couple of quotes as for the Art of Construction tribe. So the Tasmanian Dev and I always want to go a million miles an hour, but I've learned one of my favorite quotes comes from Wyatt Earp, and he says, speed is good, but accuracy is everything. And that's the thing about these tools, is that you can tweak the tools to get it accurate, and you can keep moving that along. So that's one. What's a quote that resonates with you?
You know, my latest good one, and this is because I'm on a crusade, a behind the scenes crusade at work. But one of my favorites is, no good ideas happen at your desk. You know, we joke in our office, the millennials are taking over and they do things differently, and you know, we could work from Tahiti and all that stuff. But it's true, even for me, I feel like when you're at work for 8, 10, hopefully never ever 12 hours, but you're there executing, you're getting things done. That's not a time to think and plan and look ahead. And I think, we don't lend, credit to, you know, what happens when you're riding your bike, or what happens when you're just like taking time out to go for a hike or whatever. And unfortunately for me, that's where all the stuff comes from. I've gone on bike rides where all I think about is work for 3 hours, and it's crazy. But that's what happens, is, you know, I try to instill in my team is that, you know, you're going to come here and you're going to work all day and you're going to grind it out, but you got to give yourself time to think and to get all that stuff in your head. I mean, we've all read books and listened to podcasts about, you know, if you're playing piano all day long and trying to learn whatever, you go to bed and you sleep and your brain puts that stuff together, and the next day you wake up and you play it with no problem. And I think that's the truth. If you're constantly grinding at work, you're not coming up with anything new.
Love it. Yeah, you have to work on the business and in the business to keep it moving forward. One of the things we do that we adopted the entrepreneurial operating system, and for every meeting we always go through and say, what's your personal best for the week and your business best to get out of the daily grind of just going back into solving problems. Yeah. The problem that you solve the problems by letting your mind and getting things going and learning about each other and what makes you tick. Yeah. I love that.
And we just had a funny meeting with my team, and I asked them all, they're all young, really passionate individuals, and I said, you guys describe your perfect day. Tell me what your perfect day is. And all their days started at work. Well, I come into work, this is what I do, and it just ended. And I told them what my perfect day was, and it started at 5, and I worked out at 5 in the morning. I, you know, made, like, there were aspects to it that didn't have to do with work, and they were just like, oh, wow, like, we could actually, that's part of, it is part of it. Your off time and your morning time and what you do as a hobby lends itself to work. You know, if you're not taking care of yourself and you're just, you know, not thinking it's part, it fuels your work hours. It really does. It's just what I believe in. So, cool.
So we asked that, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates that you would leave them with to say, this is really something to think about to help you grow your business?
You know, in the BIM world, I know it's getting filtered down to smaller and smaller projects. We've seen projects as small as $1.5 million, you know, with contractual Revit stuff. I think, like what I said prior, is you can do amazing things in this technology world with Revit and all this other beautiful stuff. But if the people that have to install and work with that technology aren't ready for it, it's not going to work. And I experienced that firsthand, where we were like, let's fabricate all this stuff on this project and let's BIM all this stuff. And when it got to the field, they were like, I don't know how to put this together because this is drastically different than what I'm accustomed to. And it failed miserably. And it was a huge learning experience for me because I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be great. You know, I could do it. I could do it in this Revit space and fabrication. But then my guys, you know, weren't ready for it. And that was no fault of their own. It was just a fault of the team. We just did not do it as a team. We did it individually. So I guess the main thing is, don't silo off. Don't have a technology group that's doing these incredible things without, you know, doing it as a team. Because you do as a team, it's going to work better, even if you do just a little bit.
Awesome. Man, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story. You crushed it out there, man.
Thank you, man.
Cool. Man, I felt like I was talking to myself in the mirror. It's just, I don't know electrician, so I was, I kept the windows electrician, but boy, talk about a fun conversation to have somebody that's very like-minded. One of the things, as I've talked about many times in the past, is you have to really surround yourself around people that you know, like, and trust. And that's one of the things we're doing with the Art of Construction, is that we're actually, Christopher is part of our initial Art of Construction mastermind that we're going to be doing locally here in Colorado, and we're building this up, and we'll be doing it virtually with different people that are taking things like, he's lived the life of being an electrician, me with owning a window and door company, and putting that stuff together into using technology. And the whole idea of this platform is to take technology and connect them to handshakes. To unpack that a little bit, when I say handshakes, is to say actually projects and people working together and moving the needle in a different way than just getting into what's your price and the packaging it of the bottom line. So I'm super pumped for the partnership with Christopher and Sturgeon with the Art of Construction. And the subcontractor is key. So really understand your subcontractors and make them a super value of your construction project. And I loved how he talked about how they're really looking at all the different platforms versus trying to get, as a subcontractor, to get others to change. We all have to change together and learn all the different tools to put it all together in the Art of Construction. Thanks so much. Crush it out there, tribe. Talk to you soon.